यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राध माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राध माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहार जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय 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 प्रभु जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद ज्ञान विष्णु कर्म शुक्राचार्य अष्ट सदेश भक्तिवंत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जो रामाचार्य श्रीलदास हरिदास ठाकुर की जो ग्रंथ राशि भागवतम की जो नितय गौर प्रेमंदे नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोजो मुदीरेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्टिकी। ओके, वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 14 कैंटो 10 टेक्स्ट 26 ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा। सो प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। Jnana manifesting from ignorance, Samgna which designations, Bhava Bandha bondage to material existence, Moksha and liberation, Dvau the two, Nama indeed, Na not, Anya, separate, Sta, or, Prita, true, Jnana Bhava, from the knowledge, Aja Surasiti, whose awareness is unimpeded, Atmani, the spirit soul, Kevala, who is separate from no matter, para, which is pure, who is pure, vicharya mane, when he is properly distinguished, tara now, within the sun, eva, just as, ahani, day and night, ajnani sangyo bhavanda moksha, Dvanamunanyastarajna bhavati bhavat. Ajasra siti atmani kevalapare. Vicharimane tarana vivahani. Somebody can repeat. Ajnana sangyo bhavavanda moksha. Do nama nanyosta rajna bhavat. Ajasrasti atmani kevale pare. Vicharyamane tarana vivahani. Jnana sangyo bhavanda moksha. Dvanamo nanyusta virakta bhavata. Ajasra siti atmani kevale pare. Okay, translation by Srila Prabhupada. The conception of material bondage and the conception of liberations are both manifestations of ignorance. Being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. At that time, the bondage and liberation no longer have any significance. Just a day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. Purport: material bondage is illusion because the living entity actually has no real relationship with the material world. Because of false ego, the conditioned soul identifies himself with matter. Therefore, so-called liberation is simply the giving up of an illusion rather than release from actual bondage. Yet, even we think that the suffering of material illusion is real,
and that liberation is thus a meaningful release from suffering, the mere absence of material existence is still insignificant compared to the achievement of actual spiritual life, which is positive eternal reality opposed to the negative illusions of material life. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness or pure love of Godhead is the only significant, meaningful and permanent status for every living entity. Since the darkness of night is caused by the absence of sun, one would not experience night within the sun itself, nor would one experience individual days separated by night. Similarly, within the pure living entity there is no material darkness and thus no experience of liberation from such darkness. When the conditioned soul comes to this platform of pure consciousness, he becomes fit to associate with the Supreme, the Personality of Godhead, in the Lord's own abode. Hare Krishna. So I think in this chapter 4, as I mentioned last few times, Lord Brahma is offering prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Hari, and because he was bewildered, and then when the intelligence was clouded, and when those clouds get removed, he get back that full intelligence. Okay, the tinge of a false ego has been removed. So he realized his mistakes, that like his mistake was he's trying to test Krishna whether he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. And then he started offering his prayers. So the last few verses you are reading the prayers that he was offering. So Brahma was in his prayers, he's requesting Krishna that he should give me, he's allowed me to even become a dust or the Vraj. In his holy dhamma Vrindavan, so his associates put their lotus feet on the top of that dust so he can get purified. He's requesting that. And he's also requesting that even if you are not allowing me to do that, can you make me a dust even the outside of the Vrindavan, where still those gopas, when they will come for herding cows, they will still put their lotus feet on top of me so I can get purified. So these are such prayers the Brahma is offering. But in this particular verse, the most important thing that we should understand is the difference between the ignorance and the knowledge. Okay, that's what he is saying, that due to the ignorance, you know. So the difference between knowledge and ignorance. Okay. So the transcendental knowledge is basically that really awakens the connection, the eternity with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that really awakens and it removes the illusion, okay, of the relativity of this material world. Okay. And what is the relativity? In this material world is pretty relative, okay, because all depends on most of the time it depends what type of, in this material world we always have to tie up with somebody. There's always a relationship with somebody. Okay. It doesn't matter who we are. Okay. There's always something that we can relate to it, which is basically the relationship, you know. We have so many relatives. No. And then most of the time we know that what is the source from where they are coming, you know, who is the original source and how this coming, you know, our grandfathers, forefathers and all those things. So mostly we just, the whole world move around that relationships, okay, with the relatives or with others. So that's a relative world, okay. But Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, there's another side of that which is the absolute truth, okay. That is beyond that relative relationships or relative. That's the absolute truth. That's what he said in that Bhagavad Gita, that after so many births, okay, at least to some extent, so many births, birth after birth, somebody is just able to know about me. Okay. He will come to that stage that he will know about me, that I am the absolute truth. Okay. I am the source of all the knowledge and source of everything. That's what he said. After so many births, the yogis come to a platform that they know that the source of everything is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the source of everything. Okay? So whatever the mode of ignorance is that whatever we do in this material world, you know, we always think that out of false ego that we are the source of everything. Everything which is happening around us because of me, or I am responsible for that. I'm basically doing these things. So that's a mode of ignorance. Because you think whatever the activity you are doing is happening because of you. And then they derive that happiness. So whatever the modern education is there and all those things are there, they just give pleasure to a certain extent. Okay? But they didn't realize that this pleasure is only short term. Okay? Because of ignorance, because of illusion. Because of illusion, we experience that happiness for a certain period of time. And we think that it will last so long, but that's not happen. That's a temporary. So that happiness is temporary, but we think that, you know, the education we got, the occupation we do, whatever the activities we do, that will drive us happiness. But if you look over a period of time, you can always see, an intelligent person can always figure out that happiness doesn't last for too long. It's for a short period of time. Sometime what happened, a disease may happen, you might get dishonored by somebody. Okay, that will give rise to a misery. Even sometimes people are lamenting on subtle things. You know, for example, if you are going in some gathering, and say if you are coming to the temple and somebody don't say Hare Krishna to you, so in your mind you will always lament. Now, why is not saying Hare Krishna to me? So that's also a misery. So this is a source of misery everywhere. The happiness will not last long because of ignorance, because of that illusion. Okay, short term. So whatever we are doing in our occupation, everything, if we don't focus on the absolute truth, then basically that happiness will not last that long. Okay. So what is the true happiness? True happiness is that how we connect with the Supreme. How we realize that absolute truth. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada used to say that it's very important that if somebody is hearing, okay, and then if he is not implementing, he is not endeavoring and applying that sincerely in his day-to-day activities, then basically he is not getting anything. So whatever you hear, you have to make an endeavor's efforts and then apply it in your practical life. And that is called the sincerity. You do it with sincerity. And if you do that with sincerity, you will cultivate the humility. Okay? And then this humility will advance you in your Krishna consciousness. Okay? So, out of this ignorance, that's what it happened. So, as he used to give the example, that if you start realizing this absolute truth, okay, if the illusions is gone, then what happened? Whatever the activities we do, you know, educations, occupations, we try to offer everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then only we can experience that happiness. Otherwise, everything is illusion. So basically, if we start utilizing all these variables, okay, occupations, educations, and try to understand the source, the original source, or try to connect with that original source. Connection means the original source is responsible for giving us all this opportunity. And then all this knowledge and occupation, whatever the activities I am doing, that it will connect me with that original source. Then that knowledge is useful. That's the intelligence. And you are using your intelligence to use all these things to connect with the original source. So for example, the ocean water, you know, if there's a, in the summer heat or whatever that, you know, it operates the waters, it becomes the clouds, and there's a wind that carries so much water, And when it strikes with the Himalaya, what happened? The rain comes, it freezes, the glaciers are formed, and when the glacier melts, the rivers came. You know, all these Ganga, Yamuna, you know, they came from those glaciers. And they flow thousands of miles. And what happened after thousands of miles? They fall back again into the same ocean. Okay? So they connect with the same source they originated. Okay, so that's the intelligence. That's the way how you can realize the absolute truth, that whatever the activities we do, it will connect me with that. But sometime in this world, people rely, out of ignorance, they rely on the third party opinions. They always rely on the third party. They never use that intelligence. They don't have the ability to use their mind and intelligence to see things that I'm doing and wrong. But they always take advice from the third. Out of ignorance, out of illusion. They don't trust their mind. They always go for the third party opinion. So Srila Prabhupada used to give an example. He used to tell a very beautiful story, you know, about Sarva Pal Singh. You know. So there was one person, he was sitting under the tree, and there was another person passing by through that village. He saw that person has a shaved head and he was crying and lamenting. So this person asked him, you know, why you are lamenting, why you are crying? So he said, you know, Sarva Pal Singh passed away. Okay, he didn't ask, you know, who is Sarva Pal Singh. He just, whatever he is thinking or lamenting, he just reciprocating with that. So he went to the village, that person, and he asked all the villagers. So they came here and they, looking at this person, that what happened, he said again, you know, Sarva Pal Singh has passed away. They all shaved their head and crying. Okay, that's what didn't happen in villages. So then a certain military person came, he was also passing by, and then he did the same thing. Then the things went to the king, you know, why is, what's this happening? Then king has been told that, you know, Sarva Pal Singh has been passed away, people are lamenting. So the king also started doing that. They are shaving their head, they were lamenting. Nobody asked that who was Sarva Pal Singh. But there was a person who went there and actually asked that the first person who was lamenting, that actually tell us who is that Sarva Pal Singh. We haven't seen in the village a person with that name. So he said that, you know, I am a washerman, and then I have a donkey named Sarva Pal Singh who used to carry these clothes, he passed away. So that is foolishness, ignorance. So this happens when you try to pay attention or too much attached to the third party opinion or public opinion. Because the whole public, if they are in ignorance, they don't know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how they can give the proper guidance. They will also put those people in more illusions. So basically we are keeping this soul in this cage, just like a cage, you know. So body is a cage, putting the soul, let it suffer, because we are not trying to connect with the Absolute Truth. And that's what Brahma is offering in his prayers. So Srila Prabhupada used to give an example. There was a lady who, she has put a bird in the cage, and she spent a lot of time decorating that cage. You know, one day, a second day, she started decorating those cages. So one day, you know, a sudden, so she was ignoring the bird within that cage. So one lady came and she said that the cage is so nice, let me see what is inside. She saw a bird, she's dead, because the lady was too much focusing decorating the cage. And she was not taking care of the bird, even though the cage was designed to put the bird in it, for that bird. So this is what the living entity who are in illusion, they try to do. They use this scientific knowledge, they use this technology and try to decorate, you know, how I can become young, how I can decorate my body, you know, with different colors. You can see people with different hairs, different colors. They try to decorate their body, but neglecting the soul inside. This is all ignorance. So what is the knowledge? Okay. So we are talking about the difference between the ignorance and knowledge. So what is the knowledge? So what is the starting point of the knowledge is, we start realizing the absolute truth. That is the knowledge. That is the beginning of the knowledge. And what is the end of that knowledge? Whatever we have acquired, the knowledge about the absolute truth, whatever the, then what happened, whatever the activities we do, day-to-day activities, you know, going to the school, going to the occupations, doing so many other activities. If you start doing all those activities to please Krishna, then basically that is the end of the knowledge. That's the ultimate goal. Whatever the activities we do, if you can do it for the pleasure of Krishna, that's basically the realizations. Okay? Just the theoretical knowledge, acquiring theoretical knowledge will not give you the realizations. The realizations only comes when you serve. Once you have that attitude. Okay? So that's very important. So Srila Prabhupada used to, Rupa Goswami used to talk about the Yukta Vairagya, means you can use everything in the service of Krishna, how to please Krishna. That's the Yukta Vairagya. Used to give an example that there's a $100 note or a currency, one person saw it and he looked around and he said, nobody's seeing me. He pick it up and go. He's a thief. And the second example he gave that, then the second case is that the person came and then he thinks that, you know, this doesn't belong to me, I should not take it because if I take it I become a thief and I will go to the jail. So he tried to overlook that and just go away. He said that this is not mine. What is this? This is Maya. Okay? And Srila Prabhupada used to say that in the third case is, if you get something, if somebody give me something, I will take it. Because I will use it for the service of Krishna. Okay? You can use it. So that third person is intelligent because he will bring that money back to the original source. Because he is used for that. He can use that money for the service of the Krishna, the original source. So that's the intelligence. So that's why he's talking about these things. So the important thing here is how we can get out of this ignorance. No? That's what Lord Brahma is offering prayers. So let me read the last section again, so you understand. So what he said, the conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation, both are manifestations of ignorance. Okay? Besides out of the scope of the true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spiritual is distinct from the matter and always fully conscious. So how we can attain this stage so we can go out of that ignorance and then start realizing the absolute truth? And then whatever the activities we do, we just offer it to Him. So there is a certain churning process that you have to do so you can attain that stage, start realizing that, you know, before you're offering the prayers. The last time I talked about, you know, the different moods how we offer the prayers. Okay? If we start realizing the absolute truth and what are the activities we do, we offer it to Krishna, that means our desires become same as the desire of Krishna. Oneness in desires. So oneness in desires will happen, then what happens? There is a harmony will be established. And the harmony is that whatever the activities we do, we just try to please Krishna. That harmony has to be there. That's what Mother Yashoda, you know, see, her desire is to tie Krishna, and then the Krishna desire was to get bound by Mother Yashoda. So when the desires match, he bound. So we have to harmonize that desire. Okay, so what is the process that we can start realizing that the beginning of the knowledge is to know the absolute truth and the end of the knowledge is how we realize that knowledge in our practical devotional life. So there are 5-6 things that's very critical that bring us to this stage so we can, when we offer the prayers, just like Lord Brahma is offering, so we can focus, you know, on the prayers in such a way that the Krishna will reciprocate. Okay, because in this spiritual world, when somebody goes to the spiritual world, you have to serve Krishna for eternity. Okay, whatever the service will be assigned, you have to do it for eternity. You cannot then say that, you know, I cannot do this, I cannot do this. So the whole this Krishna conscious process is basically the training that we absorb in that mood, and we should not, you know, distinguish between different services, because if you start separating, you know, this is higher, this is lower, I cannot do this, then the gate for the Golok Vrindavan is not open. Okay, so one of the important process that we give up this ignorance and then acquire this knowledge so we can serve Krishna in a better way is you put Krishna in the center. Whatever the activities you do, you put Krishna in the center. And if you, so that's what, you know, the whole ISKCON movement started. Okay, so like Krishna is lifting the Govardhan, and all the Brajavasis were also supporting, you know. The Krishna is lifting on his little finger, but all the Brajavasis with their sticks, you know, they are also holding the Govardhan Pagod when there was a, Indra was powering those rain on the top of that. So he was protecting. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada has created this ISKCON. ISKCON is basically like a mountain, and then all of us are under that shelter, supporting each other. So that's what, put Krishna in the center. Whatever the activities we do, if you put Krishna in the center, then there is always in a harmony. If you don't put Krishna in the center, then there's a disharmony, and then there's a illusion, and there's a all sort of problem will happen. So to harmonize everything in our services, we have to put him in the center. And thus, on that principle, the whole community is basically developed. So like in this case here, when we come to this temple, then basically the deities are in the center. We come, you know, cooperate and serve deities together in different ways. So you put deities in the center. The second thing in this category, more important, is consult, you know. So one who has the six, four, five things I'm telling is basically help us to understand what is ignorance and how we use, what is the knowledge and how we use that knowledge to serve Krishna, whatever the activities we do. The second thing is consult. You know, one who becomes like a senior or becomes like a, have done many years of devotion service, he should not think that I should not consult anybody. Yeah. He should always consult with his peers, with his seniors, even though he is doing that devotional service for many, many years. Because if you don't consult, you might go in the wrong direction. If you don't consult, that means you don't want to listen to others. Because, you know, others may give you some advice which you don't like. So you should always consult. It doesn't matter, you know, how many years you are putting, think that, you know, whatever the thing I do, I will do it rightly. No, you should always consult. Even if you take an example from the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastimes, Vasudeva Datta. He was a very compassionate person. He has a lot of compassion for the devotees. Karuna. He was just as, he has a karuna for everybody. So merciful. So whatever he was earning, he was giving in charity. He was not thinking that how I will support my household activities. Whatever he was earning, he was just giving in charities every day. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, because, you know, you would also support the family. So he has instructed Sivananda Sen, who was a householder, and he was also the industrialist, because he was supporting so many, supporting the movement through his donations. He instructed him that please guide Vasudeva Datta in his household activities, because he is doing too much charity, he is neglecting his household. It's very important. Okay? So that means you consult. Because when sometimes we do think that, you know, we are doing perfectly right, you know, I am great, I am so great, I can do everything nice. No. You always consult, because then the other can give you the advice which can be helpful. Otherwise you can go to the wrong direction. And there was another Srila Prabhupada when he was in Bhuvaneshwar, I think it was Gaur Gopal Swami, but some Maharaj was there, and he asked him to translate Bhagavatam in Odia. Okay. And then he said that, Srila Prabhupada, I don't have, I have to run the temple. Okay. I'm a manager here, I have to run. So I don't have a time to translate this. He said, no, you are the only one who can translate this. Somebody else can manage it. Then he saw a devotee from New York walking by. He asked him, why don't you call that devotee? When Srila Prabhupada used to call some devotees, and those devotees start realizing that, you know, there is some instruction that will be given to them. So he came, and then Srila Prabhupada asked that, you know, he will be translating in Odia, Srimad Bhagavatam. You manage this temple. You become a manager. He said that, you know, I have a flight to New York tomorrow. I cannot do that. He said, you know, you cancel your flight. Then he said, you know, another excuse that, you know, I have a weather-related issue. I cannot tolerate the Indian weather. He said that when you stay here for a longer time, you can tolerate. Arguing with Srila Prabhupada. Then he came to the third excuse that, you know, the food here, I cannot digest. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, I will give you a list of the items you can eat and that will be good for your body. Then he said that, you know, I have an issue. People doesn't allow me to work here. I have a conflict here. He said that, no, I will change the local GBC. Don't worry about that. So after all excuse, he just surrendered. But okay, whatever you want me to serve here, I will do that. So sometimes, you know, you consult. Maybe when you consult with the PS, with the senior devotees, then they can give you advice which is most suitable for you. And then the third important thing here is association. So when we associate in association, so when we come in the association, everybody, you know, we came to the temple from somehow to other ways, and then we start associating with the devotees. There is a transformation in our life, in our behavior, in our character. So we should always give credit to those people who brought us in that association. It's not like, you know, I came to the association, the transformation happens, and this is because of me, everything is happening. No. You should give credit to those devotees who are responsible or part of that upliftment within you. So this is very critical in a Krishna consciousness culture, that one should always express gratitude. Because when the tendency of expressing the gratitude happen, Krishna will reciprocate in that way. So gratitude has to be there. Whoever brought us in this moment, we should always express our gratitude towards them. Because the power of association is so strong, that has led to the transformation within oneself. Obviously, you know, one efforts will be there, but the power of association is so strong that it can transform. So one should always express the gratitude. You see, in the case of Kunti Maharani, she was expressing in her prayers her gratitude to Krishna all the time. That we have gone through all those obstacles, all those problems, but since you are there, we all have been protected. So she was expressing the gratitude. So when you express your sincere gratitude, the Lord reciprocates. So she was her aunt, okay, in the relationship, but she was expressing her gratitude all the time. You know, Krishna was touching her lotus feet. So this was, you know, when you express the gratitude very sincerely, you can start bringing the Supreme Personality of Godhead towards you, He will reciprocate immediately with that gratitude. So it's very important, expressing the gratitude, glorifying the devotees, because of them you came to this Sangha and they transform your life. So that association, there are many, many examples in this category, that the association help you to advance in the Krishna consciousness. The fourth thing important is you have to make some adjustments. Okay? So adjustment means it's not like, you know, you define certain thing and then you expect that everybody just follow that. You know? Sometimes what happens, some adjustment need to be made because everybody consciousness is different. Okay? You cannot think that, you know, 10 devotees sitting here have the same level of consciousness. Somebody has lower, somebody is higher. And depending on the consciousness, you adjust sometime. So you can give an example of, you know, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was fighting with Karna. So Karna almost defeated him. He don't want to kill him because his only objective is to kill Arjuna, because he has given the vow to Mother Kunti that it doesn't matter. At the end of the war, you will have your 5 sons. Either me or Arjuna will be dead, but you always have 5 sons. So he don't want to kill, but he humiliated him in such a way that Yudhishthira doesn't have to do. So he went to his tent, you know, he went to his place, and then Arjuna suddenly came, you know, what happened, where is Yudhishthira Maharaj? Because he thought that, you know, somebody has captured Yudhishthira Maharaj, because if you capture the king, then the war is over. So he went inside. But then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked that, did you kill Karna? You know Karna, Karna is born out of Kunti, and he is born from the ear of Kunti, that's what Karna, okay? So, when the Arjuna went there, then Yudhishthira said that, you know, I thought that you have killed Krishna, so why you came here? He said that, you know, I was looking for you. Then he started chastising Arjuna. You know, so many things, and finally he said that, you know, you just put down your Gandhi, you know, this bow and arrow, because there is no use. And Arjuna took a vow that, you know, if somebody chastise me, somebody say bad thing about me, I will not do anything. But if somebody say bad thing about my Gandhi, then I will kill him. He took that vow, you know. The Kshatriya's vows are very strict, you know. When they take that vow, they just follow it. And then he was in a dharam sankat, you know. Krishna was also there. He said that, you know, now I have to kill Yudhishthira. But Krishna made some adjustments. So what he said that, you know, you just chastise Duryodhana by saying some bad words about him, to Yudhishthira. Because chastising with bad words or make him lower is almost same as killing that person. So he make that adjustments. So sometimes the adjustment has to be there. Because the objective is that how we can uplift these devotees or this person. It's not like to put him down. Because, you know, sometimes what happens is some devotees come to the temple, especially the Indian community, and then we start saying that, you know, because people coming from the Indian community, you know, they are used to worship different demigods, you know, and if they come first time in the temple and you start saying that, you know, you should worship Supreme Personality of God and, you know, demigods, you can give it, what will happen? They will not come to the temple again. So you handle the people or devotees according to their consciousness. You cannot act. So you should be always positive. Develop the positivity in you. Okay? So you should not react immediately. So what happens, if you say, for example, you cannot control the environment. No? If there is a thunderstorm, there is tornado, there is no way you can control it. But if you develop the positivity within yourself, then you can find the ways that how I can avoid them. You react in a such a way that you can avoid them. You should not immediately react, you know, I can control these things. You cannot control anything. You cannot control ourselves, how you can control this nature. Okay? So sometimes, you know, in our interactions with the devotees, we should be very careful that, you know, how we react. Okay? Because if the consciousness level is so low, you see, he is still cultivating that consciousness, and if you react in a bad way, it can give a very wrong impression on him. You cannot react. So you should always first figure out what is the issue and then you can react. You cannot react without finding out the details. That shows that how advanced the different level of advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you react, sometimes if you react immediately without knowing the cause, then that can drag you down in Krishna consciousness. Because then you always develop that tendency to criticize others all the time. You think people down, criticizing them, always trying to find fault in them. So you have to develop that positivity. So if you are traveling on a boat in an ocean, you cannot control wind, okay? But you can change the direction. You can go in the direction of the wind to sail that boat. So that means you are developing some positivity, some intelligence. So when Srila Prabhupada came here, he started teaching those people who were so down. He was teaching those four radiative principles, and those people are involved in those four activities so heavily. He didn't go back to India and said, okay, I cannot, I just give up, I can go back. What he saw, a little spark in them, okay? And then what he did, he just fanned that spark, and then that become a blazing fire. And through that blazing fire, he transformed them out of positivity. We start thinking negativity, you know, this thing doesn't work, no, I just give up. No, you always see some positivity and then fan it. And then one day you will see that fruitful results, a result of that activity you do, but that depends also on the sincerity of your endeavors. Okay? So he did exactly that and transformed the life of many, many people from that stage. And then the fifth thing is important is the devotee care. Okay? So if you serve devotee, if you take care of the devotees nicely, can get out of this ignorance, and you are practically applying this knowledge into our realizations, then automatically these prayers will come. So devotee care is very important. So for example, if somebody is doing some service, you know, it's not like, you know, some service is higher, some service is for Krishna, everything is same. If somebody is mopping a floor, somebody is on the altar, for him everything is same. Only difference between the service is the level of consciousness, but for him everything is same. So, whoever doing little service, we should always encourage them to do that, or rather than criticize them that you are doing this, you are doing this, you know, this is not good, you should do this. No. Whatever the activities or services they are doing, we encourage them to do that, so, or encourage them that, you know, how they are contributing so nicely in moving forward the ISKCON movement, or following the principles of what Srila Prabhupada has set for us. You encourage them, rather than putting them down that, you know, you are not doing right, you are not doing this, you should do this. No, that's not right. You should give the value of whatever the service they are doing, you should encourage them, you should value them, that you are contributing very importantly in the movement of Srila Prabhupada. So this is devotee care. Devotee care, you know, doesn't mean, you know, you do something and then chastise them. Okay? All the time. Sometimes, you know, it can happen. Sometimes can, but that depends on the relationship. If you have a deeper relationship, you can always act. But if you don't have that relationship, you cannot do that. Because it can hurt the sentiments of that particular devotee. And then what happened? He may move out. So the devotee care is very important. And then the last thing in this category is collaborate. You know, we should always cooperate and collaborate together. If we do these 4 or 5 things in a community, in association, that can deepen our consciousness. We start realizing that the real knowledge is to know the Absolute, and then how we apply this knowledge in our practical devotional service by applying it within ourselves. That means whatever the activities we do, whether we go to the school, we go to the higher universities, we go to the occupations, because a lot of devotees can ask questions in the beginning part of their life, you know, I am doing these material things, how I can do spiritual things. But if you understand this thing, then you can start realizing at one stage, you know, whatever the activities I do at my workplace, if I know, if everything is connected to a source, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the activities I do is basically elevate me in my spiritual consciousness. So this cooperation is very important. In the California, there are redwood trees. Okay, they are very tall trees. But you know, their roots are so small. The roots are so small. But that those trees can withstand tornadoes, high winds, and they stand there for thousands of years. How they stand there if their roots are not deep? But you see that the important thing is that their roots cross-linked with each other. So there are two trees, you know, their roots always intermingle, cross-linked with each other. And that make them strong to withstand these calamities. So that's what, how we cooperate. Rather than putting someone down, we should cooperate and try to elevate things. That's what the objective of Srila Prabhupada, that everybody should come, cooperate, and lift this movement and involve, spread this movement everywhere across the world. So the cooperation is very important. We should not be like a frog, you know, in a pond. So Srila Prabhupada used to say that, you know, Indian frogs especially. He said that there are many frogs, so one frog is trying to go out of that pond. But what happened? The other frogs just pull him down. Somebody asked that, you know, this frog can go out, Srila Prabhupada. He said, no, it will not go out because others will pull it down. So rather than pulling us down, we should cooperate. If somebody has started some project, somebody started as something, we should cooperate and make an effort to assist them in a certain ways so they can be successful, because after all, everybody is basically involved in this movement, is basically just glorifying what Srila Prabhupada has done. How do you carry forward? They are not like doing something personal for them. They are just taking forward that movement. So the cooperation is very important for us to follow. So if you follow, these are like some of the principles of establishing a devotee community. But the important with this sloka also, that's the only way you can remove ignorance. Because if you try to liberate in the form, even you are in the ignorance, means you try to merge with Brahman, that's not going to take you everywhere. You have to again come back to this Mrityu Loka, and then again take a birth, and again you have to just repeat the same process. So best for us is that we give up that ignorance through our intelligence, and then acquire that knowledge, and then, you know, apply that knowledge in your practical devotional service. And that's what Lord Brahma is offering those prayers to Krishna, and he's telling us that we should acquire that knowledge and offer our prayers in that mood so we can elevate ourselves in the Krishna consciousness. So I'll end here. If there is any discussion, any questions, I can take.
Hare Krishna, Gajendra Moksha Prabhu. Thank you for your class. A lot of nice, wonderful points. One point I appreciated is you were mentioning we shouldn't just react to circumstances because we can't ultimately control circumstances. And you said, ultimately, you can't even control ourselves. And that reminds me of a nice quote you may appreciate. It says, every man wishes to rule the world. unfortunately, it's the world that rules every man.
Yeah.
And now we see politicians, or like Hirani Kashyapu, like a politician, they ascend to power because they desire to rule the world. But then what happens? They descend from power because they couldn't rule themselves, like Hirani Kashyapu, a modern-day politician. So I appreciate it. But my question is regarding a point you were making that I really appreciate on gratitude. When anyone who brings us to Krishna consciousness, or just in general, there's so many devotees that do so many things for us, there's many opportunities to express our gratitude. Well, my question is kind of regarding not to... from the perspective of expressing gratitude, but from the perspective of someone who does so much for others. Because we hear in the Gita, chapter 2, verse 14, where Krishna says, tolerate, winter and summer seasons, whatever difficulties come.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna is basically saying, we should always expect insults. And we should be less concerned about results. So naturally... I'll give two examples. One in the Bible, Jesus, he did so much for many people, including his disciples. So long story short, the reason Jesus was crucified is because one of his disciples, Judas, betrayed them. Somebody offered him some money, turned Jesus over, and so he could be crucified. We don't like him, we don't want to bring him down. And so right before Jesus was crucified, he went to something called the Last Supper. And at this Last Supper, it's very interesting, Jesus' reaction. You were speaking on reactions. Jesus, at the Last Supper, he says, one of you will betray me. And then he went about his business. He wasn't scared. He wasn't interrogating. He wasn't reacting crazy. But the reason I appreciate this, because we learned from so many verses from the Bhagavatam, is that controlling the weather is outside of control. Building a shelter is inside our control. Similarly, controlling... people and circumstances outside our control, building character. And we see that Jesus, he wasn't like fearful, he wasn't. So my question is that there's one other pastime regarding this. When we think we could control the weather, when we do so much for somebody and we expect a particular result, gratitude. And sometimes we don't experience gratitude, we may actually feel like somebody's directly antagonistic, like Kartavirya Arjuna. He worshipped Dattatreya to gain some powers. When he gained some powers, he became a king. He would defeat everyone in every village, every province. So then he came to the ashram of Jabda Agni, Lord Padushwam's father. And Jabda Agni served Kartavirya Arjuna with prasadam, gifts, love, honorary, so much things. And Kartavirya Arjuna was thinking, how is it that one person is serving me and my entire army so much prasadam, so much? Is it possible for somebody to serve entire feast? So he told his followers to search the premises. And then he found out that he had a kamadhenu cow, a wish-fulfilling cow. And then he told this man, I can't have anyone that's close to my powers. Steal it. Then Lord Parashuram ultimately killed him, of course. But my question is that it doesn't necessarily describe the reaction of Jabda Agni. Maybe I'm sure he was, like most, like Jesus. Talking about for us, we're not Jesus or we're not Jabda Agni. When somebody directly, we've done so much for them. We betrayed, so then we may become, why should I do so much for some people? They're ungrateful. Not only that, they might directly betray me. So what do you say to devotees who are in that situation? Of course, we're mostly like Kartavirya Arjuna, I agree with myself, but suppose we're in that situation where somebody, we've done so much for somebody and they directly betray us, So what do you say? Why should I do anything for any devotee anymore? So what do you say to about somebody like that?
Okay, if I get your question, correct. So obviously we have to understand that you came here to the temple through maybe your brother or somebody else. You understand the power of the association, which elevate your consciousness. And then basically the idea is that expressing the gratitude that this person has helped me tremendously in my Krishna consciousness, connecting me to the Krishna, so I can give up some of the bad qualities I have, trying to develop some good qualities. So the gratitude should always be there, not to particular that individual who brought you, but there is also a power of association. So there are many devotees who might be directly or indirectly involved in elevating your consciousness. So you always express the gratitude to them, because that's the best way you can glorify the devotees, and you can then have the Krishna will reciprocate accordingly. But sometimes what happens, you know, things will come, you know, you expect that, you know, I have done so much for the particular people and they are not expressing gratitude. You cannot expect that the gratitude somebody will forcefully has to gratitude you. It will come naturally, you know. So you don't expect also gratitude in, like, if you are doing something, some favor or something to a particular devotee, one of the things you should not always think that, you know, they should express some gratitude towards me. Because if you are expecting that, that means, you know, your consciousness is not to that level. You are still thinking that, you know, rewards, like, you know, how you can develop humility means you should not expect honor and dishonor. Okay? You should not expect honor from somebody to honor you. Because then if you are really cultivating that humility, then you are not expecting that. Okay? Because if you are still expecting that, that means you still have that tinge of false ego that Lord Brahma has, because he is still questioning, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So my idea is that, or my advice is that, you know, one should not expect that everybody should, I do so many things for so many devotees, but nobody has expressed gratitude towards me. Because if that thinking is still there, then that means, you know, we need to work more or focus more how to cultivate that humility. Because with sincerity, because if that sincerity is there, then basically whatever you are reading, whatever you are requiring the knowledge, the realizations will come. When you start having these realizations, then these questions will go away. They will just go away automatically. You know, it's a material word, you know, sometimes you get confused or get little disturbed. But this is the way how we have been practicing Krishna consciousness, that we should not expect anything in return. This what Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami was so knowledgeable person, but they, when they came in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the straw in their teeth, they said, you know, we don't know anything. Please tell us that how we can get this knowledge from you. Even they are knowledgeable. So that's the indication of the humility. Okay? So everybody consciousness level, humility level is different. So we need to be always very careful. So, but the most important thing is that before we act, we always think that, you know, what is the reason behind that the other person is... You have to know what was the situation before you react. If you don't know what's the background of that problem, and if you react, that can definitely drag one Krishna conscious, one person in Krishna consciousness down. Because then that becomes a tendency. Somebody don't react with, if you start reacting with somebody, then you will, the tendency will develop, you can go some other places and start reacting. So that's what, you know, you cannot control the wind. But you can control the direction. You can go in the direction of the wind, so you can sail nicely. If you are not doing these things, you are just circling into this salty water, just tasting this salt all the time, in this material ocean. You cannot cross, you just circle in it and taste that salty water all the time. So that comes by practice. You know, it takes time, practice. But the most important, what Srila Prabhupada mentioning here, Lord Brahma is offering his prayers, the ignorance is only removed in your, when he was offering prayers, that once you realize that knowledge and apply it practically. If you cannot apply knowledge in practically, there is no realization. You see, people are, you know, reading things theoretically, they know this verse, or are not applying it practically, okay? That's a waste of time. Because we are preparing ourselves to go to the spiritual planets where you are serving Krishna, whatever the service is providing for eternity. So you have to, Krishna is preparing us here to do that. So, that's very important. Okay, so, yes.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. How do we actually know when we're putting Krishna in the center? We say, you know, you say, okay, I'm putting Krishna in the center. But how do you actually know you're putting Krishna in the center?
Yeah. So, putting Krishna in the center means, you know, whatever the activities we are carrying out, we understand that is because of the Krishna's mercy I am able to do these things and build the community around that. But not putting the Krishna in the center means we think that, you know, whatever the activity I am doing, that because of me it is happening. Because I am the responsible that these things are happening because of me. You know, I am doing something so nicely. Then if you start thinking that, you know, it is because of me that thing is happening, so that means we are trying to be part of that center. And so when we are part of the center, we start controlling things. Okay? And then what happened? When you don't put Krishna in the center, when you put yourself in the center and become trying to become a controller, it doesn't matter how elevated you are, it will lead to a fall down. You will fall down from your Krishna consciousness. So that means putting Krishna in the center means whatever things I am able to do, a little devotion in my life, is because of the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So that means then you will be very successful in your Krishna conscious life, because you know whatever things you are doing is, you know, is Krishna is giving you that intelligence that you can do it. As soon as you put yourself in the center, then it's a fall down will happen. Doesn't matter how high you are in your Krishna consciousness. So that's what Srila Prabhupada has started, this movement, putting the deities in the center in the temple, so we come together and serve the deities in a cooperative way. Everybody has different roles, different situations, different circumstances, different consciousness, but the goal is same, how we can serve Krishna in the center. And then everything moves around him. Okay, I will end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.